Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Every hand up, please, every hand up quickly. Come on, say the Holy Spirit. He is my guide. He's my revelator, my illuminator, my very present help in the time of trouble. When Jesus left, he handed me over to him. The church was handed to the Holy Spirit to help us not just exist, not just make it, but to take over the earth, to conquer this place, to subdue, and to win, and take as many people with us to heaven as we can. Come on, somebody give God a big, big shout. Come on.
Come on. Hey. Oh!
You may be seated quickly. We will get into ministry here shortly, but I want to share some things first of all. First, what a great honor it's been here being with you these past few days. And as a guest of Pastor Daniel and Karen, what a wonderful team they are. You are so blessed to have them. They're not just pastors, they're leaders. A lot of people can pastor you, but not everybody can lead you. By example, by knowledge, by all the resources that God's been given to them. And if you get a hold of these two people in your midst and you kind of maybe be more all in than what you are, I'm not saying you're not, I don't know most of you, so I just kind of scattered that over the audience. But I mean, so many times misdirection in our own lives is because we're not under authority ourselves. And boy, if you can get under the right cloud, the right light, the right leader, you can go places you never, ever could even dream of. And so let's just put our hands up. Let's pray for them tonight, wherever they are. We thank you for Pastor Daniel and Karen. We thank you for the labor of love and all that they've done here at this great church, King's Church of Alaska. We thank you, Lord, for them and their gifting, the anointing on them, their unusual ability to manage this many people and have a team underneath them and working beside them. We thank you, Lord, not just for what's been done, but for what's about to happen. Come on, say, there's some mass inclusion of people coming. They're coming in the back door and the side door and many down through the roof. There'll be nowhere to put the people. There's a hungry people out there, and they need leadership, not just singing. Come on, not just plays, not just cantatas. They need leadership to take them from bondage into the land of promise. Come on, somebody give God a big, big shout. Come on, come on, come on, come on. But, we've seen so many great miracles over here these past few nights. Hasn't it been pretty amazing? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and tonight is Wednesday. And I didn't even know that I was scheduled to be here Wednesday, but here I am Wednesday. So, oh, thank you. Those five people, that helped me a lot. Thank you so much. I can take the world with five people. Wow, thank you. Now you feel guilty. Now the rest of you are going there. It's interesting when these miracles happen because they're supposed to have a greater shelf life than one day. They're supposed to have an ongoing, lasting impact. And for the person that receives that, but more than that, for every eyewitness. Over 500 people saw Jesus raised from the dead. Say 500. Yet there are only 120 in the upper room. The 120 in the upper room weren't disciples. It was Mary, it was friends, it was a few disciples, not all of them. Where did the other 380 people go? Where did the other 180 people that saw him raised from the dead, where did they go? Why weren't they there? That wasn't some special selected crew to go to the upper room. It was the hungry. It was for the people that wanted more. It was for people that realized they needed more power to live a victorious life. That they couldn't do it on personality, on charisma, you know, on their skill set. They needed, but why not? They just weren't thinking they needed more. They saw him raised from the dead. They were happy about it. They were thrilled about it. But not enough to go up there and tarry for the Holy Spirit of power. So when you see that, I just want you to think, for years as a young preacher, I just thought, well, the 120 were specially selected and chosen. Read your Bible in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, and you'll be shocked to find out who was comprised of that 120. Mother Mary, like I said, and some friends and some of the disciples. I would think most of them, right? Except probably for Judas. He didn't make it. Come on, say amen, you know? Amen. But I'll tell you what, it's important that you allow yourself to get hungry and more hungry than you are, especially if you plan on tapping into the benefits of God. I mean, if your only goal is to make it to heaven, you know, then continue as you are, because you're in. Your name's in the book. You're pretty secure, I would think. You're in a great church, and yada, yada. That's probably. But if you're planning on needing him for more healing, more miracles, more money, more favor, more open doors, more power, more significance to your own life. Because there's a point where, you know, in life you live to be, we spend the most of our life surviving. Then we spend the second half of our life with some kind of success. At some point in your life, you want significance. Why am I here? What's my purpose? It's got to be more than what I'm doing. It's got to be having more influence with people than I do. Is there any way I can get that? And I know I could say a lot here tonight about that, especially in that realm of healing and miracles. But I was thinking, I was just sitting, I wasn't even going to share this, but a few years ago, it's been a few years now, but I was in a church in the middle of the United States. I'm not sure, I think it was either Chicago, Indiana, somewhere. Maybe every bit 300, 400 people. And I was standing in the front just like this. And I just saw the Holy Spirit begin to hover over the audience. And as I did, I was zeroed in on one man in the very last row of that night. It was a Sunday morning, actually. It was a Sunday morning. And I was there, scheduled there through Wednesday, kind of like here. And he had his head down over the pew. He was bent. I couldn't see him. He was bent down over the pew, and I didn't know who he was. I didn't know hardly anybody in that church. And so I said, "You in the last row, you." You know, he picked his head up, and I said, "Yeah, you." I said, "Yeah, you. Come on, get up here. God's got a blessing for you." Well, and it took him about 15 minutes just to stand up. He was beyond crippled. He had to get disconnected to that and that connected to this. And he had hit people up and put braces on here and braces there. And same with his legs. And I'm thinking, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's the guy over here. Now, you don't always do what you think. Come on, say amen. Amen. But that thought crossed my mind. I'm thinking, Lord, why'd you have me pick him? Wow. Because I'm a yielded vessel. I don't know much. I'm a blonde. I don't know much. Come on, say amen. I don't know much. But that anointing, when that anointing comes, he knows everything. And I have just learned over many, many years to trust him. And when you trust him, he takes you into difficult places. Comfort is the enemy of success. Comfort's the enemy of success in so many of our lives. We're trying to get comfortable, and God's trying to keep you a little bit on edge so you keep pursuing, you know, some more and all. So finally, as I was standing here watching him, I just started praying in tongues. What's this all about? And that's kind of where I go when I don't know what's going on. How's God going to use this? You should do that. Instead of complaining or, oh my, how are we going to know? How's God going to use this? There's not a thing in your life he can't spin and turn and shock you right out of your underwear. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
So they're helping him get collected for him to come up, because I said, get up here, and he wanted to come up. And I said, no, I'll come back. He said, no, you wanted me up there. I'm on my way. And it made me feel pretty small in front of everybody, right? And so finally, I waited for him. He'd come up around the side, and there he was. Oh, my. Tall guy, twisted. I didn't even want to know what happened to him. I said, I'm so glad you're here. And I said, so I would presume that you want to get healed. That's what you're after. He said, I'm more than that. I want more than that. I said, well, what do you want to do? What else do you want? He said, I want to run through the whole Walmart store. I want to run up and down every aisle in Walmart, screaming, look what the Lord has done. Now, wait. I didn't know much about it. This was not a large city that I was in, but they had a super Walmart there. And him being in that condition, that's about the only place he could go and hang out. So they all knew him. Okay? And I didn't know that at the time. I'm just thinking, why Walmart? I didn't know all these details I'm telling you here. Why Walmart? Well, whatever. I mean, whatever motivates you, whatever makes your rocket get off the ground. Come on, somebody. You know, I said, well, come on over here. And he said, do you understand me, Mr. Pastor, Mr. Evangelist? Do you understand me? He said, there's only reason I want healed. I said, well, you know, purpose helps. Say that tonight, purpose helps. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm going to go a little way around the barn here to get to that. But so many people living without his purpose for you. That means you live shorter lives. You'll die sooner, more than likely, here on earth. And you'll be empty more here than ever. Nothing you do will satisfy. He alone has a purpose for you that you will feed on, that will sustain you. Purpose is a secret weapon of longevity. And not having to compare yourself continually with other people. Who wants to get into that bondage, right? And so it's, anyhow, we got into this conversation. I was so shocked by his effort just to come to church. I could imagine what he had to go through on a Sunday morning to get collected enough. I mean, we're talking out of bed. How do you do that? Who helped him? Into the shower, into the bath, dressed, into the special van. All that he had to do just to get there on a Sunday morning. As some of you, I'm sure, sacrificed quite a bit the same way. That was going through my mind as I was doing that. And I said, so when he told me that about Walmart, I said, Walmart? You want to run through Walmart? I said, I didn't know what the details. I mean, some of you in here have some weird things. Come on, some weird purposes you want to do. Come on, say amen. Amen. Some of you live with those people. You're okay, but it's the person you live with that has those weird purposes. And you're stuck with them the rest of your life. Come on, if you're married, you're stuck. Someone else, I said, okay, so I'm going to pray for you. The power's going to go through you, and his healing power's going to go through you. And I said, and I'm expecting you to just come out of these braces, because that's what I do. That's how I prepare before every service. Nothing. And I've seen some things that have just, I've gone home and just, how'd you do that? It was good enough to be in the Bible. It was good enough to be in the Hall of Fame of Miracles. Some of the stuff I've seen, been privileged to see because of him. Not because of me, but because of him. But somebody has to believe him. Amen. See, the more you believe him, come on, say, the more I believe him, the more I'm going to see things happen I only imagine. I just barely touched his temples. And the power hit him so strong, it scared me. It jumped back. The braces snapped off. He fell onto the floor. And then the braces were coming off his legs. He rolled around a little bit. And I'm thinking, you okay? Are you okay? He pulled himself up off the floor. He ran around the church. Now, wait a minute. He ran around the church, and he passed me, and then he ran around, and he ran around, and he passed me the second time. Then he ran around me, he passed me the third time. And then as he ran right out the back door of the church. Guess where he ran? Guess what he did? Guess who was in church that night, and the next night, and the next night? And a lot of there's little tags, Walmart, and what department they were in. Come on, somebody give God a shout here. Come on. Purpose. I was at Eagle Mountain Church here a couple years ago, and a young guy came up, I don't know, 21, 22, and he said, I can't hear in one ear, and my back is crooked. And he said, I says, you want to hear and you want a straight back? Yeah, I do, sir. I want to hear. And I said, what do you do for it? He said, I'm a bull rider. I said, you're a bull rider. He said, I've been thrown from so many bulls. He said, just knock my ear out and straighten, crooked my, my back crooked, but I heard you were coming. I thought, why don't I just get another, my ear right open and get my back fixed? I said, no, watch this. I said, so what are you going to do after you get healed tonight? He said, I'm going to ride more bulls. So it's interesting what people think about if they could see. If they were off medication. If they didn't have that wheelchair. You know, purpose is such a driving, powerful force. Paul said, I press for the mark of the prize. Jesus himself said, for the joy that is set before me. How did he stay on the cross? How did he stay there? He had the joy set before. That joy was you and I. He saw the church down through eternity. And sometimes we have things in front of us, but they're not strong enough to keep us. They don't motivate you enough to stay out of bondage. They don't motivate you enough to change a bad habit. And we all want to see our kids get married. We all want to see, you know, we have things like we want to get the house paid. We want to, you know, we want three poodles instead of one poodle. Come on, somebody. You know, we want things, but they're not. They're, when we get into a time of trouble, we find they're not significant enough to keep us. That's a telltale sign that you need to change what you're aiming at. When something's in front of you that he puts there, it'll keep you. Through the treatments, through the medication, through the surgeries, through the divorce. You know, through the incrimination of whatever you've been accused of. Because we're, you know, Jesus said they blasphemed him and marked him, and they're going to mark us. You know, sometimes we have a part in it. Sometimes we're completely innocent, but we're still going to go through stuff. Some people go through it. Some people come out of it, and we can't figure that part of it out. But the part we have to figure out is, are we stronger? Are we weaker? Have we just chosen to get out of here because of our willpower? One guy said, I'm from the, I forget the name of their family, we'll just say the Joneses. He said, I belong to the Joneses. I said, what's that got to do with anything? He said, we come through all kinds of stuff. Us Joneses, we're made out of a special material. Other people say, you know, well, my dad's a preacher. My dad is, you know, my dad plays for the Chicago Bulls. Or my dad, you know, I've had so many athletes come in here, their children come into the meetings, and you know who my dad is. I don't know who your dad is. One guy played for the Packers. He's a big guy. He had to be 360 pounds. And he comes and he says, can this happen to me? A man my size? And I said, well, it can happen to anybody. He said, let me tell you, I got cut from the team. I got cut from the Green Bay Packers. And he said, I really would like to still be playing. And I would be playing except for the injury. He said, it's my back and my legs. He said, it hurts me just to talk to you. I said, well, come up here to the altar. So I stood up on the stage, like here. It wasn't this high, but pretty high. He was still taller than me when I was standing on the stage. That's how big he was. I mean, I had to reach up. I'm thinking, dear God, how big is this guy? I said, I was going to pray for him. And I said, who's going to catch him? So I looked behind him. There's two little Spanish guys right behind him. That's the true story. Well, I thought, he's going to kill these two catchers. No. And I said, Pastor, do you have anybody else? No, they'll do it. I said, these guys are barely 5 feet. This guy's got to be 6'7", 360. Come on. He said, no, go in. So I said, okay. So I touched this big guy. The Holy Ghost, come on, the power hit him. He fell. I could not see the Spanish guys. I couldn't see them. Their arms were sticking out from underneath him. And he just laid this football, just laid on these two little guys. And I said, help this guy. Help your ushers, for God's sake. Forget about the football player. They had to roll the football player off of these guys. They're just laying there. And they rolled the Packer guy off of there. And he said, "My God, I'm healed. I'm worried about those. I think they're dead. Come on." but purpose. Don't blow off why you want to see better, hear better, feel better. Just to keep doing the same? Just to keep being the same? Or would you like to take your wife on that train ride through the Rockies that you told her about 35 years ago when you married her? Or would you like to really spend some money on your grandchildren? Would you like to do something different? God's waiting for you. You're waiting for Him, and He's waiting for you to give Him a reason to extend your life. You don't just get your life extended because you're a Christian. There's things you can do to add years to your life. There's things you can do to take away years. And you want to do some things that add to your, but for what reason? What's the purpose? You know, to just watch more Netflix, you know, to just, you know, go to the Alaskan Fair when it's here, and that's your big thing every year? Or is there a God in heaven? Is there a Holy Ghost inside of your heart who's writing on your table, who's saying, "I created you for thus and for so, to move mountains, to bring water to the deserts, to be an example of someone that has overcome something and not ashamed to tell people that you had to get some prayer, that you went to that church down there called Kings and rolled around on the floor a little bit. Come on, somebody help me here." He's looking for some megaphones. He's not looking for secret agents. They're all over the world. He's looking for some people just like you and waiting to hear you cut a deal. It's called covenant. He's a covenant God. And he'll make a deal with you. I know who thinks they're the best deal maker. I don't agree with that. I think God is the best deal maker. Come on, say amen. We'll leave it right there. Come on, say amen. But we don't ask for much. We just go, well, whatever God wants. And we think whatever's in our life is what God wants. When the enemy hears that kind of reckless thinking, then he throws everything imaginable. I mean, accidents and disease and trouble, you know, and panic attacks, and excessive weight gain, and uncontrollable desires. And then this turns into a massage parlor. You come in here and you get a massage, you sing a few songs, you feel a little better, but you're not better. You feel better, but you're not better. You know, you've rearranged the furniture, but it's the same furniture. God wants to remove stuff. I mean, He just don't want to take away that lump or that goiter or that hernia or that cancer. He wants to take away that part of you that's just obstructing an invasion of righteousness. That you just wake up one day and think, I got to get into my Bible. Or at least study the prophecies that you've been given. There's people that call my office thinking that we're going to remind them of the prophecies they got. That's Billy Burke. He was at our church over here in California, and he was saying something about, and my secretary, she said, he don't keep track of people's prophecies. He does a lot, but not that. Well, who's supposed to do that? You, ma'am, you. That's your job, to track your own stuff. The day you got healed, the day you got strengthened, the day the pastor whispered in your ear, you know, that's thus and so was going to take place. Because whenever you begin to accumulate, come on, say the word accumulate. It's the word I tell people everywhere I go. It's the word that the devil fears the most. Besides the name of Jesus, is the word accumulation. He's not afraid of you getting some money. He's afraid of you accumulating money. He's not afraid of you having some favor. He's afraid of you beginning to expect it every day, accumulating favor. And that's why a good man has good treasure and keeps getting good treasure in his heart. Come on, put your hands up and say, "I'm about to accumulate the faithfulness of God in this place, in my life. I'm never going to get jealous if somebody gets a new car ahead of me or a pair of brand new shoes or a better looking husband." Come on. Somebody better give God a big hand clap. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on. Come on, I mean a big one.
But see, that's your job and my job, is to track his faithfulness. And find out, why has God kept you? Why are you here? Why, how'd you make it here so far? You've gotten your, you beat COVID. You beat a disease that's wiped so many millions of people off the planet. You're here. You've managed to come through some stuff in your own family. I'm sure you've come through a lot of diseases and hardships. But why? Well, God's with me, but why? What's that purpose? Does it even matter to you? And he may not reveal that to me about you, or even to your Pastor Daniel about you, but he surely wants to reveal it to you. Of something he has for you to do, somebody he has for you to become. You know, if you're going to need a partner, you know, to help you accomplish that. And how to stay healthy. Healed is great. Healthy is better. Come on, staying healthy is a challenge. Because that whole system out there, the FDA, the Food Drug Administration, they don't care about you.
That's right. Come on.
That stuff on the shelves will kill you. Come on, somebody say something here.
Come on. That's right.
That can last there for years.
Come on.
And then you cook it and eat and say, that's pretty good. No, that's poison.
That's right.
That's poison. You know, it's very, very important that you, I mean, if you're putting canola oil on your salads, and canola, cooking with canola, it's the cheapest oil out there.
That's right.
But it'll take you to heaven quicker. But who's going to tell you that? You know, we're not, I wasn't probably supposed to say that tonight. But you got to find out purpose. And when this man got up off the floor and he ran around that church, I thought, I didn't know what was going on. We never know at the moment. Last night, what happened here with this young lady right here and some of these people, we have no clue what God's going to do with that part of their story. Yeah, that part of their story. That same church is that where that Alzheimer's lady was healed. A man brought his wife in, and he said, stood her in front of me, and she was just, she just couldn't put two sentences together. And I felt bad. I mean, my job is to love everybody, pray for everybody, and believe him. You know, I'm only there for an hour or 2 hours, and I go out the door and on a plane, and that's his job to come in, and you have a pastor that does that so well. But this day, he brings his wife, and he says, and she's there, and I felt bad. But because I feel bad, don't mean I can spend a half hour with her. I get a lot of other people I have to pray for, talk to, thousands sometimes. Sometimes hundreds. And I touched his wife, and boy, the power hit her. And he said, why did she fall? I said, well, that was the Holy Spirit, sir. He said, you mean the Holy Spirit was really on my wife, but she has Alzheimer's? I said, I don't care what she has, what she's fighting. God just touched her. He said, boy, I just hope you're right. He said, you know why I hope you're right? Because it's, our house has become a chamber of horror. All through the rooms, we have to put stickies on every room to let her know where she's at. It's that bad. He said, how would you like to live with that? I said, I don't think about living like that. That's not in my mindset. I said, but you ought to be glad that right now, sir, she's under the power. I said, do you understand what that is, sir? He said, well, I know you guys say it's under. I said, see, she's under the power. I know when virtue leaves me, as Jesus knew when it left him, and she's in the best place in the whole planet. Just believe. That's the hardest thing for people to just believe. Not pray, but believe. Not sing, but believe. Not read, but believe. All this other stuff is very doable. We read, we sing, we pray, we fall, we get up, we run, we shout, we do Jericho marches, and then we don't believe. Put those hands up and say, I got to believe. There's something good. Something amazing, something I cannot explain, nor can anybody else, is about to happen in my life. The heavens are about to split, and the waters are about to part, and God's about to kiss me with a supernatural kiss like I've never had in my life. Come on, give him a major shout. You know, so So we dismissed that day. We came back. I didn't see him Sunday night or Monday. He came back on the last night by himself, no wife with him. And he looked a little bewildered. He looked a little, you know. He came up and I said, how you doing? I said, hey, how's your wife? I said, I got issues. I said, what do you mean you got issues? He said, I need you to help me. I said, I did what I could on Sunday morning, and where's she at? He said, Billy, she remembers too much. What a man, what a man. He said, I mean, I'm telling you, I wanted her to get her memory back and all that, but she's remembering stuff that, well, you know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? Stuff I don't want her to remember. I said, sir, maybe that's something you two need to work out. And I said, I'm not in charge. I'm not in management. You know, I'm really a clerk. Managers and owners, they're all on a different level. I said, but when you get healed by him, he marks you. He expects from you. God expects fruitfulness. Come on, he expects you and I to praise him, worship him, serve him, do our part, exude, to testify about him. Because there's nothing, that's the only thing in your life that probably can't be refuted. Right. And if you're not 100% healed, then tell people, say, I'm about 80% healed. I was in a meeting the other night, and I've been having so much trouble with my vision. Well, can you see? I'm about 75%. You don't have to lie. You can speak in faith, but be accurate as you can. Say, God touched me. I'm about 75% there. And well, what about the other 25? I'm believing for it. I'm expecting it. Never take away the part that God has done because he hasn't done. Some people say, I can't testify because I'm waiting until it's complete. That's the worst way to think. It should be ever since that night. I can't explain what happened. I mean, the lumps are still there, but I feel something different. There's a presence about me. I don't have any back pain. I'm sleeping better. They're still there. God will give you all kind of little confirmations that he's going to finish the job. He don't pick a fight he can't finish. I said, he don't pick a fight he can't finish. By the way, that football player, when he got up and he got healed, he played for the Packers, not, I don't know about this year, but last year, he got back on the team and he was the starting right tackle, played for the Green Bay Packers. So that came in, that church wasn't a great big church, probably 700 or 800 people, but he was there that day and he took his, and he thanked me up one side and down the other. He said, if it wasn't for, nah, don't say me. I said, come on, let's go. One for him. No, I'll attract it, but I deflect it. I attract the deflect. I attract the deflect. You got to keep deflecting. It's not by might or power. You know, it's not by, because you're a great worker. You're this, you're this, because God's really helped you become a better person. But what I wanted to bring to you tonight is just something to give you a little bit of energy and motivation is, what's your goal with what you want to do with your healing? Just feel better? That's good. Just to fulfill the promise of God? That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. I got to get out of this wheelchair. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with any of those. But let me tell you what will expedite your journey. What will get you in the passing lane. Something you want to do for him. Something you want to do for the church. Something you want to do to embetter your life as a Christian. That's all God's looking for, is some Christians that are really Christians. You know, that really go down into the neighborhood, change and transform. And the way they're treating people, the way they're using their money, the way they're practicing commerce. And we have some Christians, I mean, they don't even tip a waitress. I talk to waitresses, and I know waitresses in different cities, and I say, and they tell me who comes there, what celebrities come there, what athletes come there, what preachers come there, and they say some of the cheapest people are the preachers, and they name some of the other people that come in that are, we would call secular or whatever. Yeah, they leave $100 tip. They do this. One lady said Arnold Palmer was my favorite person. He would just lay down, da 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 da, and then they tell me pastor friends of mine. You know, and some of you know some of them too. And I say, well, they good tippers too. I don't want to tell on your pastor friends. And they say, but he didn't give me anything.
And he made a mess all over the table. That's not how you move forward.
Amen.
Come on, say, I get to give. Come on, say,
I receive
to give it back in praise, in offerings, in service. I want to give it back because I owe him everything. Come on, give him a shout here tonight. Come on, give him a mighty, mighty praise. So I asked this one lady from Walmart. She had the Walmart shirt on, and I see her name. I forget what her name was. And so I said, so you know him. Oh, we all know him. He sits up there, you know, he brings us donuts or brings us stuff like that. And we've known him for years. And we're just shocked. What are you shocked about? Well, he's walking. He's not in a wheelchair. He's not on those apparatuses. He would tell us about church, but we would just think, you know, he's just a needy person that needs church as a crutch. But to see this, it's kind of like, I have to admit. And she says, were you the guy that prayed for him? I said, I think I was. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I was there that day or not. I said, but I know that's really, really real. She said, it's hard. Isn't it hard to believe, sir? I said, yeah, I guess so. Is Bigfoot hard to believe? How about UFOs? How about the Loch Ness Monster? What are some of the craziest things that we're curious about? The one I get a kick out of is you're in a basement of a building with a Geiger counter, and you're detecting spirits. Oh, I hear one. Wait a minute. We're picking something up. Are you kidding me?
Oh, boy.
Are you? And then you come here and have a hard time believing in the it's written in red, and you have a hard time with written in red. Some of the stuff that people believe, and you don't even know it because they're in your church or they're in your meetings. And I don't get to know everybody, but we interview people because we put them on television, their testimony or something. And then as they tell me their testimony before we put them on the program, it's kind of, maybe we can't put you on. Maybe we'll do a Zoom. We'll Zoom with you, maybe. Because you can't let that get into the purity of their healing. Well, why would God heal somebody like that? Because he's God. Because he's good. Because we don't have to have everything all together for him to heal us. You know, we can't use our healing as a trademark of he must be happy with everything that we're doing. I mean, that's not the way this goes. We just have to listen. One of my new friends, his name is Tim, he was bleeding on Hollywood Boulevard. He's a twin of Alice Cooper. He looks just like he's a twin. He was in rock music himself. You would know the band. But he was hemorrhaging on Hollywood Boulevard. And he fell to a bench, just bleeding. And he heard a voice. I never met the man. And this voice told him to leave Los Angeles and come the whole way over into where we were. And that was in Pittsburgh, I believe, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that when he came into our meeting, ladies and gentlemen, his belly was as big as a pregnant woman. And it was a tumor. It was that. We had photographs of this, whatever. And he stood there, and you know, he told me the story. He said, all I did was obey. I don't know you. You know, I didn't even know you did this kind of work. But I heard God say, come here to your meeting, and I don't want to die. Now, that's not the greatest goal to have, but it works. Come on, see, it works.
It works.
I said, so as I got the story straight, I said, and that's a tumor. He said, this isn't just a tumor. It's full of cancer. I said, so what's the prognosis? He said, I'm going to die. And I don't have any more money. Our band isn't on the front pages any longer, and I'm out of money. And, you know, nobody cares when you're off the front page. You're good as long as you can perform, as long as you can keep your face in front of people. He said, but I can't do that no more. I said, so I came here. At least I can live. I said, so if you live, you might have to tell people who healed you. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, you might have to tell people that you came to a meeting and Jesus touched you. I said, can you do that? Well, yeah, I can do that. I'm not afraid to do that. He actually said a cuss word. You know, he said, blank, yeah. I said, I think we can cut a deal here. Put your hands up. And I touched him. He was under the power. I didn't see him for over a month. Next time I saw him, there was no belly, no cancer. Come on, somebody, no cancer. And now he comes to some meetings when he can. He's writing a book. You know, he's being contacted by different programs to be on their show and whatever, whatever. And the deal was this. He had to come to a place where the healing wasn't all about him. It's all about him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I mean, if he does all the work, he gets all the glory. You got to be willing. I'm just telling you, I'm not saying this is the guarantee that if you don't witness for him, you won't. I would never limit God in any way. But what I have seen over my 47 years of this ministry and working with Catherine Kuhlman for several years as a young person, your willingness to come out from the crowd is big. Your willingness to come out from obscurity, your family, in front of your family, at the Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I know you have family in, and there's some of them, well, they don't like this, they can't handle this. What can't they handle? When are you going to break their news so they don't go to hell? Does hell matter to you? Do you have an understanding of what hell is like? It's more than just a hot place. It's a hot place forever. The fire never goes out. And if God can use your story of your healing of your neck or of whatever, something happened to you with your family, yeah, but I don't want to offend anybody. Well, God don't want to offend anybody either. But you got to be able to sometimes make people a little bit uncomfortable so you can get a seed inside of them. I'm sure a lot of dentists find a lot of people uncomfortable. Excuse me. I mean, do you ever notice how the music changes when you're sitting in the dentist chair? Every time I go, they say, well, Billy, tell me what, da-da-da-da-da. Tell me what, get in my mind, like I know what you're doing. You're trying to get in my mind, how's everything in the ministry going? How's your meetings in Pittsburgh going? How's your meetings in Hawaii going? Whatever. To distract you to get, because they know that you're down there waiting for that zzzz. How many have been to that dentist? Let me see. How many keep going back for more pain? Come on, let me see. Why do you do that, Purpose? You want a beautiful smile. You want to look good. You know, so a lot of things we do have a purpose. We just don't think about that. Tonight I'm talking about what doctors can't do. Medicine can treat you. Medicine can help you along the way. But to heal you, to take out that back pain, to take out that herniation, to take out all the inflammation, which is the originator of all disease. It begins with inflammation. To break a pattern of dependency on sleeping pills, on drugs, on pornography. I mean, to break that. I mean, to break it in and it never show up again.
Praise God.
When Moses got through the Red Sea, God said, okay, turn around now and close the back door. Come on, so you got to close the back door. Say it. Here they are. They're coming at you. See, because the devil's a relentless pursuer. Just because you're here and you get a little bit of help doesn't make him, he's going to stop pursuing you. Who would chase after a bunch of people after you see them open up the sea? Why would Pharaoh not leave Moses and the people go after he saw Moses' snake eat his snakes? I'd quit right there. Come on, somebody. I throw in my tile. If you make a snake and I make a snake and your snake eats my snake, I quit. Come on, say amen. Not Pharaoh. Not the devil. He's going to keep pursuing you and nipping at your heels until he realizes he's dealing with a real serious believer. Come on, somebody give God a shout. Come on. Come on, give God a big praise for that. But the biggest place you have to open up your mouth with is what he's done for you. There's a verse, write this verse down. I know you have a recording of this. Philemon, verse 6, is a great verse. Philemon or Philemon, whichever you want to, whoever you want to call that. But the Bible says that the communication of your faith would become more effective when you acknowledge every good thing done in you. That the communication of your faith. Come on, say the communication. Your ability to communicate to people. People that maybe you're intimidated by. People that they're in front of you. And you're there to influence them with the goodness of the gospel. You're standing there in front of all these people. You have a story to tell them. You came through a crisis that only God would bring you through. And yet nobody knows. Why doesn't anybody know? Well, because you're not ready to share. Maybe you're ashamed. Maybe you don't really know how much that is a stepping stone to the future, to your next healing. So what if you get healed of something significant? Tell nobody. So you get another healing significant. Still tell nobody. You do have confidence he's going to keep healing you whenever you're not telling anybody about who this Jesus, what he's done for you? There's something about faithfulness when you feed on it. Come on, say, when you feed on faithfulness. When you feed on faithfulness, it just makes you win and win and win every time. Because God says, if I heal him again, he's going to keep telling people. If I heal her again, she's going to keep telling that circle. And pretty soon, God has the confidence that you're going to have an invasion all around you of everything that's connected to you. Friends, workplaces, you know, schoolmates, Facebook friends. There's people you can witness to without ever meeting them. Shock a couple of your Facebook digital friends. Come on, somebody. Send them a digital miracle right over the digital internet. Come on. And then just sit there and wait for those bubbles to appear and then they answer you back. It's amazing how people don't want to deal with you once you bring in that name. I came out of a meeting in the Bahamas. They had put me in a casino, a hotel in the casino there on Paradise Island. And we come out of it was about 1:30 in the morning. We had a revival there. And it was a really great, it was a good revival. And they dropped me off. I was so exhausted from the meetings. I walked up the steps to go into the door. I had to go through the entrance of the casino to get to my hotel. That's where they put me. And so I was on my way to the hotel, and this lady approaches me from the side. And she said, hey, baby. I said, oh, my Lord, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. I said, ma'am, I was trying to say, I just came from a meeting. No, please. And she came, baby, I can make you happy. I said, ma'am, I'm already happy. I'm thinking, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. She said, baby, I can make you sing. I said, ma'am, I've been singing all night. She said, what you singing about, baby? Jesus. Bye, baby. Bye. Bye, baby. I thought, wow, that really works. Come on, say amen. It'll work with cancer. Come on, it'll work with dementia. It'll work with everything in your body. But a lot of us aren't talking to it. We're not praising him in private. We praise him in the group because we got musicians and videos up here, and it's wonderful. But in your kitchen, in your car, that's the secret place. When you let the devil know, man, I am praising him everywhere. That's where Paul praised him in the prison. Jonah in the middle of the fish. John on Patmos. These radicals that we read about in the scriptures, they couldn't keep their mouth. You couldn't keep them from praising the Lord anywhere they were. If we'll just begin to increase where we are and let the devil know that he doesn't have any ground that belongs to us, that we're taking what? We're more than conquerors. Amen. That we're going to occupy until he comes. Amen. And in every place, until your breakthrough comes, don't wait for the breakthrough to praise him. Say, I'm going to be praising him right now.
Amen.
But just to mention that, who you've been singing to, I've been singing about Jesus. Bye. She said, bye. She ran from me so fast. I felt like, I thought you were going to make me sing. I didn't do that, but I wanted to do that. She was gone so fast. See, this stuff works.
Amen.
It works. If you work it. If you work it. It's got to come out of your mouth. You know, this Bible here is not your sword. It's only the sword when it comes out of your mouth. This doesn't scare the devil. Your notes don't scare the devil. What scares the devil is if you begin to sound like the one you worship. Whenever you begin to think like him, talk like him. And it's a journey. It's not overnight. But I love the story of the prodigal, and that is what? He wasn't back to the father's house yet, but he was headed in the right direction. The thing everybody can do tonight, you may not get to where you want to go tonight, but you can begin to head in that right direction. Just when you leave here tonight, he's my healer. And if you allow your wife to interrupt, just deputize your wife. Deputize anybody around you. Say, just cut me off if I'm saying the wrong thing. You start aching about your whatever pain, you start and say, honey, remember, he's our healer. He's our healer.
Amen.
Somebody's got to keep that flow going in the home, going in your life.
Amen.
So that what? So that you become like you are here at home, at work, at play. And you become a unified individual that can be delivered of anything, healed of anything. And it may not happen the way you want. It may not happen as fast as you want. Had one lady in Michigan. She wanted to be healed of, it was cancer. It was a tumor on her liver. And she come up, I touched her, she was flopping on the floor. I feel him, it's burning, I know I'm here. She went back to the doctor. He said, it's still there. I have to operate, this is stage 4. You know, but I was on the floor and I felt it, I know I am. I'm sorry you feel that way, it's still here. We got to take it. I don't want to have surgery, but you need to have surgery. You don't have surgery, you're gonna die. You gotta let me have surgery, but I don't want surgery. Lord, I don't want surgery. I'm gonna believe it happened the other night. So on and so on, well, she had surgery. When the doctor got in there, the tumor was already disconnected.
Come on.
It fell into his hands.
Praise God.
Every cancer cell dead.
Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah.
She led him to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm saying you don't know. There's no second class healing. There's no second-class miracle. You know, but the idea is you want to stay in lane and keep bringing his name into it and his promise into it. But most of all, the purpose on your part. What can you offer him tonight? I mean, without any exaggeration or, you know, lying or stretching or whatever. I mean, what do you think would really be presentable? Lord, I need to do this. Oh, I don't want to make God. I just say make a promise. Call it a Holy Ghost suggestion if you want. But something you have to think about is what part of your life do you need to improve? Sometimes God sounds, your wife sounds just like God, or God sounds just like your wife or your teenager. I talked to one girl, she was sleeping around with so many people, and I said, honey, you got to stop. Here's honey. And she wouldn't listen to me. I said, tell me about the blue Mustang. She said, who told you about the blue Mustang? I said, I just heard him tell me about your blue Mustang, the blue Mustang you was in. She said, I can't believe God told you that. I said, well, nobody else told me that. I said, now listen, so forget about the blue Mustang. She said, you know, the more you talk, the more you sound just like my mother. I said, well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit working through your mother. Maybe. God will surround you. Person, you'll hear him everywhere you can't even imagine. He's trying to get you healed. He's trying to get you happy. He's trying to get you whole. He's trying to get you overcoming. He's trying to get you on the right path, headed in the right direction to do the right thing, to give him all kind of glory. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
But for this guy, and God did heal him the second time riding the bulls. And then I went like this, Lord, what's this about? He said, stay out of management. Just you touch him, I heal him. The Lord, and you want to straighten people out. See, in my natural mind, quit riding bulls, he heals you. That's the way God works. That's not the way they work there, because he got up, he could hear, he gets back, was healed. And then he said, I'm going back to ride more bulls. As he walked out, and I thought, oh my, that don't make any sense, Lord. Stay out of management. Stay out of management. Just doing what I tell you. Keep touching, putting those hands on people. Let me take care of the people. But Lord, Billy, stay out of it. Because it's really amazing how he loves people over procedure. This lady called me. She said, I love your meetings. I've been watching your program. She said, I'm coming to your meeting. It told me the church. She said, I'm bringing my son. He don't go to church. And he has a hard time with church. He was in a car accident. He's in so much pain, you can't even hardly touch him. She said, we'll carry him into the meeting. He'll have to be carried in. And we'll lay him, if you don't mind, on the front row of the meeting. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, it's not my church. If you want to call the church and ask them if you can do that. So evidently, they laid him. I took about 5 chairs to put him across the front. So I went over to him before the service. I said, so I'm glad you're here. He said, yeah, I'm not that glad that I'm here. He said, I really don't like you guys. I said, what guys? I said, guys like you. I said, you don't like guys like me? I'm thinking, I'm going to pray for you, and you don't like me. What's wrong with this program here? He said, well, you guys, this, you guys. He just went down the list. I said, well, Lord, just overlook this guy. I felt bad. Heal him, whatever. So the meeting began, and I walked over to him, and I said, it helps to get the healer on the inside of you. Why don't you accept Christ tonight? He said, I didn't come here to accept Christ. I came here, and there's an advertisement in a newspaper that God heals. You said he heals through you. I need the healing. Can you do that, or can't you do that? He's talking to me as he's laying down on these chairs. Very, very curt, very rude. And very what? And I'm thinking, this guy don't have a chance to get healed tonight. This guy is the wrong place at the wrong time. And I said, sir, you shouldn't think like that. I said, he loves you. I know he loves me, but I'm not ready to give my life over to anybody right now. So you're going to pray for me, and am I going to walk out of here, or is this another false advertisement? Tough guy. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm thinking, this guy don't have a chance to get healed. I turn around to walk away. He rolls off the chair. He hits the ground hard. I can hear bones cracking as I'm walking away. And maybe 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, and he sits up and his bones are still cracking. I'm thinking, what is this? And he said, oh, my God. And he looked at me, he says, this isn't bad. This, you advertised correctly. I said, well, how about we get the Jesus in? He said, no, I didn't come to get Jesus on the inside. I'm better. You did what you advertised. And his mother's over here crying. I called the mother up and said, ma'am, you got. She said, oh, he needs you. I know he needs them, but right now, nobody can reach him right now. But God went ahead and healed him on credit. I'm trying to encourage some of you Christians here that having trouble getting healed. He healed this guy, didn't even want to know him. As I said to the group last night or the night before, not one Christian did Jesus heal. I want you to get that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nobody was a Christian because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. So before the cross, everybody's in their sins. And he healed them anyhow. Trusting in his grace and mercy that after they were healed, that they would want to know him even more. Come on, say, God has a plan. God has a path. And God has a purpose for my life. And every time he touches me, every time grace and goodness touches me, it should open up my heart just a little bit more to know, what does he want me to do? What does he want me to say? This Walmart guy, he had it all figured out. I didn't even know it. He tapped into purpose. That's why that happened. That's why God had me call him without knowing he was like that. I said, Lord, why didn't you tell me he was like that? He said, you wouldn't have called him. I said, I might have. No, you wouldn't have called him. So I had him, you not be able to tell how bad he was just to get him up here. And then I knew you had to depend upon me. He wants you to depend upon him. Come on, somebody give God a shout tonight.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.